All right. Well, announcements. We've got tomorrow, we got public ministry, Kennedy, 10:30. And then I think that's the only announcement. Tomorrow, 10:30 in Kennedy, some public ministry going on. And for those of y'all at home watching, the ark down there, that's can they see that? All right. Well, that's just going to be here a couple weeks since we're going through 1 Samuel. And 1 Samuel, well, on Sunday morning, we're going through 1 Samuel. And much of the first few chapters of 1 Samuel, you've got the ark mentioned, the Ark of the Covenant mentioned multiple times. And that's just a little replica of it. And Rudy was nice enough to bring it here, and it won't be here a couple more weeks. But anyhow, Colossians is where we're at this evening. Colossians chapter 3, we're going to talk about the bond of charity. The bond of charity. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. And we went through, talked about forgiveness last week, talked about putting on new man, all these qualities of the new man. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14, the bond of charity, the bond of charity. The Bible says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. It really doesn't matter where you go in the New Testament, but everything seems to kind of end up at charity. And that kind of is the most desirable, Paul calls it a more excellent way. That is the thing that is the highest quality that the person could have, charity. But let's pray, and we're going to talk about this bond of charity, bond of charity. Father, I pray that you'd help us this evening. There's a few that are out traveling, some just got home. Pray that you'd give them the rest they need. And Lord, for those that are trying to make their way here this evening, pray you give them safety if they're still coming up here. And thank you for our visitors, for Jared and his family. And Lord, I thank you for getting them safely up here, and pray you give them safety going home. I pray you bless them while they're here, and get something out of this lesson, get something from you out of this. And thank you for each soul that's here. I pray you bless each soul for being here, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, charity is a bond. He says, put on, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. There's so many things we could say about charity. We're going to focus tonight on one aspect of it, and that's its bonding quality here. And I don't have any particular order that I'm going to look at these verses, but I got a few verses that we'll look at as cross references here. And there's about four or five times that we'll look at charity mentioned. And if you just think of a bond in general, you got chemical bonds, you know, hold things together. You got relational bonds, which charity is one, holding people together. And by way of explanation, some of you have been married a while. You've learned probably that marriage, for instance, as a committed relationship, is the basis for learning how to love. You thought you loved somebody before you got married. When you got married, you learned how to love. That's charity. That's the commitment. That's the commitment to each other. That's even overlooking certain things. That's the other person overlooking certain things in you. That's charity. And there's all kinds of bonds. I mean, there's building bonds. I mean, things where you you got pieces of wood or 2x4s and things like that, and they don't really mean anything. They don't really have any particular use until you start putting them together and building something with them, and you got to put them together somehow. And that is the same thing with people. And the Lord's trying to build, and he builds his church, and he builds people. And outside of charity, it's really, I don't even know if it's possible, but it's certainly difficult to have any sort of meaningful characteristics or qualities grown inside of you without charity. So here he says, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. So let's look over here and we'll start this lesson over here. Look in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Here's a place where charity shows up as a bonding quality. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Almost said 1 Charity chapter 4. 1 Peter 4, 8. Now watch how this works as a bond. Charity is a bond. 1 Peter 4, 8 says, "And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." It is iniquity that drives people away from their friends and family. It is sin that comes between. Just like the Lord said in the relationship with people in Isaiah, he said, "Your iniquity is separated between you and your God." It's always some sin or perceived sin or some transgression that makes one party not want to be with some other party. There's something that came between these two people. In 1 Peter, he says, chapter 4, verse 8, "Charity shall cover the multitude of sins." So the thing that drives people away from even from each other is sin. The thing that whether perceived or real, it is the thing that says, I'm not going to put up with this person anymore because of X or because of this or because of ABC. I'm not going to put up with this person because of this thing. But on the other hand, charity is what keeps people together. Charity is the thing that says, you know what, you messed up or I messed up. And charity is the thing that says, okay, you know, I'm not going to let this thing come between us. I'm not going to let this thing. And so exactly what Peter says, he says, charity covers a multitude of sins. And you know what it does? Just like Paul said in Colossians, he said, it's the bond. It's the bond. It's the thing that keeps people together. And just like sin, transgression, iniquity is a thing that drives people apart, even from God, even from each other. Charity is the thing that says, you know what, we're not going to let this thing come between us, and we're going to keep it together. If you're married, you do that on a regular basis, and you just say, I'm not going to let this thing come between us. And so, just like Peter says, charity shall cover a multitude of sins. So you've got forgiveness, I guess you could say, is part of this. But when you want to say, I'm done, I don't want to deal with this person anymore, or this thing is, I'm going to allow this thing to come between us, that's the opposite of charity. Charity is the thing that says, I'm not going to let this thing come between us. And that's what Peter says. Above all these things have fervent charity among yourselves. He's talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And the reality is, if you don't have any charity, then what you look around and you see, and you just see faults with everybody, and you find out, or you think in yourself, there's just too many faults with all these people, and you get sort of high-minded and, you know, just me, I'm the only spiritual person around here, and so I'm going to go do my own thing and whatever. That is almost the epitome of carnality. Like I am the peak of spiritual understanding and whatever. Charity says, no, I'm not going to let this stuff come between us. We got a mission. We got a job. We're here as Christians. We got something more important to do than just this little thing that's come between us. So charity holds people together. It covers a multitude of sins. And in doing that, here's what you can build. It's just like having a stack of 2x4s out there, out in the field somewhere, or out somewhere. You got this stack of 2x4s, and you can't do anything. They're not put together in any way. But once you start putting them together, you can frame something, and you can start building something with it. And the reason you can build something with it, and you can start housing and helping and putting people inside that structure, is because you've successfully bonded all of these 2x4s and plywood and all this stuff together. I mean, we're in a building tonight that if it wasn't put together, it'd just be wood piled everywhere and it wouldn't have any real meaning. But it's put together and it provides a place to have a nice church service. It provides a place to you know, enjoy some time out of the weather. And I mean, today is kind of nice weather. It wasn't 150 degrees today. It was kind of nice. And so, but you understand the idea. And when you put things together and put people together, you've got blessings that can be multiplied. You've got burdens that can be divided. Those things are, that's all good stuff. That's a result of charity. So Paul says over in Colossians, like we just read, put on charity. It's the bond of perfectness. And Peter says, yeah, charity covers a multitude of sins. It keeps people together. Here's another one. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. 1 Timothy 1, 5. Talking about the bond of charity and how charity acts like it's a bond between people. 1 Timothy 1, 5. It doesn't seem to get any higher. There's not any higher quality than this. Watch what Paul says. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Here it is. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. That is a successful education. Once you got that you've got what God wants you to have. Now, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. So charity is a bond, just like we looked at in 1 Peter. It's a bond that holds people together. It covers a multitude of sins. And in this case, this is the highest quality. It's what it's all about. The end of the commandment. If you said the end of your high school education is graduation, that's the end of it. This is similar to what Paul says. Look, the end of this thing is charity. That's where we're going. That's where we're trying to go. So the end of the commandment is charity. It holds people together so rest can occur. I mean, if it's the end of the commandment under charity, there's no more law. There's nothing bad about it. There's nothing to point out that is contrary to God in charity, and rest can occur. I think about you know, again going back to the little illustration of building materials versus an actual building. You can have building materials, but if they're not put together, if they're not bonded together some way, you just have materials, you don't have a building. But once you have a building, people can come in and rest. If it's your home, they can rest, they can find quietness, they can find joy, they can find provision. There's a multitude of things that can happen when these materials are built into something that's useful. That's charity. Charity puts the thing together so that something useful can occur there. All right, here's another one along those lines. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. kind of along the lines we just talked about there, building. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Charity holds people together so rest can occur. Charity holds folks together so relationships can grow and life can happen. 1 Corinthians 8, 1. It says, "Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity does what? Edifieth." You know what edify means? It's to build up. Like an edifice, a building, a house. So charity, along that illustration, it builds something that is useful. It puts people together in order to build a life that is actually useful and valuable, and will provide qualities that are necessary for life. So charity edifieth. It's like an edifice, a building. It builds up, and charity is the bond that builds people together, builds people up. All right, here's another one. First, you're in 1 Corinthians. I'll just stay there. Look in chapter 12, verse 31. Chapter 12, verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. So in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul has described gifts and the members of the body and spiritual gifts and how people are differently used of God. And then he says this, verse 31, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." So the gifts are good. They're good. Do you have any idea what comes after this verse in the Bible? What's the next thing that shows up? An entire chapter on charity. So after Paul explains, here's this gift, and here's this member of the body, and this is how they function, this is how they function, and this is how the Lord uses this person, this is how the Lord uses this person. He says, good, I mean, desire spiritual gifts. But if you have spiritual gifts and you don't have charity, then it really, the gifting doesn't take the place of charity, but charity can take the place of spiritual gift. I mean, it will do, say more, it will do everything the Lord wants it to do. Let's keep reading. Look in verse 1, chapter 13, verse 1. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." Wow. So you could say gift of tongues. You could say somebody talks with the language of angels or whatever you don't want, whatever, however you want to categorize all that stuff. The point of it is, you could do all that, but if you don't have charity, it doesn't have any value. It has no meaning. Then he says this, verse 2. I mean, this is pretty incredible. "And though I have the gift of prophecy," just like preaching, "and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity," what's the next three words? "I am nothing." I am nothing. So charity is pretty important. You could speak in tongues, and you could know the languages of I understand, we're not doing a whole study on tongues and all that stuff, but You get the idea. You could speak in other languages, so you could communicate with angels, and you can communicate with all people, all kinds of people around the world. You could have faith, and you could say to this mountain, go over here, and it'll just move. And the Lord says, you can do all that stuff, but if you don't have charity, I am nothing. That means I could move a mountain and still be nothing. I could have all faith. I could explain everything out of the Bible. I could explain mysteries and dark secrets and all kinds of just mysterious stuff and things that are just complicated. But if there's no charity, three words, I am nothing. I am nothing. Wow. Let's keep reading. I mean, he's got a little, I mean, we haven't even passed verse 2. And we're already like in a ditch here. I mean, it's just verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, the world would say that person really, I mean, they're very generous. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. In verse 2, without charity, I am nothing. In verse 3, without charity, I have no profit. There's no profit to my life whatsoever without it. Wow. And this is not somebody that, Paul goes to the extreme here. And though I bestow all my goods, not like 10% or 20% or 30%. This is someone who just gives everything they have. But there's no charity. And he says, that didn't profit you anything. Not in God's economy. It didn't profit you anything. And then, though I give my body to be burned, I read that, and every time I read that, I have this picture in my mind of, I think it was a Time magazine cover, and there's this Buddhist monk. I don't know where he is, but it was in the 60s or early 70s, and he's sitting and he's wrapped up in nirvana. You know, he's just, he's out of himself, and he's on fire, and he's just sitting in this square, and he's just on fire, and he's burning himself exactly like. And it's some protest. He's protesting. Somebody's protesting war or protest. What he's protesting. But he is literally burning himself. He's on fire. He's out of his own mind, out of his own body. I mean, he's you know, disconnected from the feelings of the flames. And he's giving his body to some cause. And Paul says, though I give my body to be burned, if I have not charity, it profits me nothing. Wow. So you could go to that extreme. You could even go to the extreme of giving everything you have up and still, in God's economy, nothing. This is something else. Verse 4. Now you see why when Paul says charity is the bond of perfectness, he says this is perfection. This is what it's about. This is what it's about. Because you can have all of these other things, and if you don't have this, all of these other things don't replace charity. They can't replace charity. Verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. Boy, that's the opposite of the culture now. Everybody's looking for a reason to be provoked. Everybody's looking for a reason to be angry. Everybody's looking for a reason to have some sort of indignant righteous anger. You know, it's the system's against me or whatever. They're looking for, I don't say everybody, but the people that make the news are looking for some reason to be provoked. And I mean, I saw it the other day, and y'all have probably seen this stuff where people are eating dinner, sitting down eating dinner, and these Black Lives Matter kids are yelling at them and screaming at them, telling them how violent they are. It's like you can't see your own hypocrisy. You're the ones that are violent. But I mean, it's just people looking for some sort of righteousness and trying to promote their own righteousness and ultimately it's money. The people that are coordinating all this stuff, I mean, they it's money. It's always about money. But the ones that are just kind of involved in the thing, you know, the college kids and all that kind of stuff, they're just looking for meaning. They're looking for some sort of purpose in life. They got no purpose. They got no reason to exist. They've been told they came from monkeys in a soup, and now where do I go from here? I'm not going to heaven or hell. I don't have eternal life. What do I do? I'm going to live out my life. I've got to have some sort of meaning. And I mean, people that are greedy feed off that stuff. But going back to this, it's just provoked and people easily provoked. But the opposite of that is charity, where somebody's not easily provoked. It's hard to get a rise out of them. Or it's hard to get them angry at you. It's hard to make them mad so that they would retaliate or fight back. And it reminds me of what Paul said in Romans chapter, I think it's chapter 12 or 13, where he talks about, you know, not revenging yourselves and things like that. Somebody who has charity, they just don't want to take revenge because they haven't been provoked yet. Let's keep going. Verse 6, it rejoiceth. Charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. It beareth all things, it believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wow. Verse 8, charity never faileth. Charity never faileth. So charity is the ultimate, charity is the victory. It doesn't lose. If you have charity, you have won. You've won the battle. That's what it's about. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. When that which is in part is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, even as I also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is what? Charity. Charity. So when Paul says it over there, he says it in Corinthians here, he gives a whole chapter on it. And like I said, we could do all kinds of other things with this characteristic, charity, but it is a bond that keeps people together. It is a bond that allows relationships to grow. It's a bond that puts away sin. It's a bond that allows rest to occur. It allows peace to occur. It allows growth to occur. Charity does all that. And when you remove charity from the equation, none of that stuff can happen because there's no more bond there. It's just, you just have a pile of building materials without any connection to each other. But when you put charity in the mix, now you can build something. And in that building, you can put life, and you can put growth, and you can put rest, and you can put provision, and you can do a lot of things with a building that you can't do with just a bunch of building materials. You can do a lot of things with a structure that you can't do with just a pile of wood. So charity is it's the bond. It's the thing that puts it all together, puts the whole thing together. It's like mortar that holds the saints together as they are perfected. And it is without it, these other things don't have a way to exist. And I give you one last example here. So if someone offends you or you offend someone else, let's just say, because I mean it happens on a regular basis, I'm sure, you get offended or you offend somebody, and you say, you know what, I'm done. I don't want to deal with them. They offended me. Or maybe you offended somebody, you know. It's not always, you know, everybody's offending me. Maybe you're offending somebody else. So. But the point is, when you say, I'm not going to deal with that person anymore, you know what goes out the door? Long-suffering. Now, there's no way of achieving long-suffering because you've just cut the whole thing off. I remember somebody said this. They said they had been married for 60 years, and somebody that had been, they were, I don't know, up in their 30s or 40s or something, had been divorced a few times and all that, and they told the person that had been married for 60 or 70 years, they said, I want what you have. And that person that had been married 60 or 70 years says, you can't have what I have. You can't. Because what I have took work. And it took time. And it took long suffering. And because the way you've treated relationships, you know, I'll just bow out of this one, I'll bow out of that one, I'll bow out of this one, I'll bow out of that one. The reality is, and he was right, he said, you can't have what I have. Not to be mean or not to be arrogant, it's just the reality. Because of the way you've handled things and the way you've treated life and because the way you've managed your business and relationships with people, you're not in a position to have this. And it illustrates the point. That fellow was in that position because his wife and he had learned charity among each other. And how to stick it out, and how to survive, and how to love each other, and even in times when you don't love each other, you just stay committed to each other, and you figure out how to love each other, and that's just a husband-wife relationship. I mean, that goes on with church members. If you're just bouncing around all the time, I mean, where do you land? How can you be a help to anybody? There has to be some stability. There has to be a commitment. And you know what that commitment is? It's charity. That's the commitment. It's just I'm going to stick it out. I may not like everything about this. I may not like everything about the guy behind the pulpit or whatever. I may not like the way things are done here. But you know what? I can get the Bible. I can get fed. I'm just going to stick it out. I'm going to keep trying to serve the Lord. Happens with church members, happens, like I said, in marriages, it happens in families. Charity, it's a bond. It's a bond that allows life to happen when people are charitable with each other. They'll overlook things, they'll let things slide that you know, they won't make a big deal about things that really don't need to be made a big deal out of. And so Paul says it. I mean, he says it exactly right. Just I'll read it one more time just to reminds you of the verse, but he says it. He says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. So above all these things, put on charity. It's the thing that's going to keep you together. This is the thing that'll keep you together. This little thing that'll keep the house together. This is the thing that'll keep the church together. And in keeping it together and in keeping the people together, it allows growth to occur. It allows provision to be made. It allows people to rest. It allows peace to happen. All of these things can happen in a structure that's built, and it can't happen when it's just building materials laying all over the yard. But I think you get the idea. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Father, I pray it's been helpful. Thank you for these words. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for each soul that's here. Those that have traveled, Lord, I pray you'd get them home safely. And I thank you that got them here safely. Lord, thank you for these words. And I pray you'd help us make the application, learn how to be charitable people. And Lord, apply these words to our lives. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.